Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Margot Somerville is a bioethicist at the University of Notre Dame, Australia. What are you reading, Margot?
I spend my whole day reading so that when I go home at night, sometimes I think, oh, a book is not a relaxation. It's sort of, unless I'm careful, it's an extension of work.
Yes. But
and so I tend to flop in front of the television, which is very decadent, I know.
It was kind of comforting for the rest of us because that's what most of us are doing.
Well, what three books that I've read recently, they're all connected actually vaguely, well, not vaguely, pretty directly with my work. One of them is called Dignity Therapy, which is by Harvey Max Chochinov, who's a psychiatrist who specializes in the care of terminally ill people and who's developed a whole new psychotherapeutic procedure to help them to die well and peacefully. And it's an amazing book. It's it's something that we all need to read, I think. And it's written for healthcare professionals, but it's accessible to everyone. And then another one I've just read is called When Breath Becomes Air, which is by a young neurosurgeon, 38-year-old neurosurgeon, who just married, and his wife was a doctor, and he got a brain tumor. And they had a child after they knew that, and then eventually he died within I think it was about 2 years. And it's an amazing book, and I read it because I think it's important for our medical students, whom I teach, what's it like to be a doctor and to be sick? And then the other one that I read, which I wrote a review of and I found absolutely fascinating, was called Struggle, Condemnation, Vindication. And it was written by Barry Hudock. And it's the story of a Jesuit priest in the United States called Father John Courtney Murray. And I was interested because in a book I've just written, I quote him at great length. I think he's absolutely brilliant. And this book was about how certain people in the Vatican didn't like his idea about the separation of church and state. And he was silenced for many years. I think it was 10 years or so that he was not allowed to talk about that topic. And, as a writer and as someone who's always getting into public discussions, I couldn't imagine what it must be like to have obeyed that silencing, that when you were wanting to write things and say things. And then two things. One was that I was completely shocked by what I heard, what I read the Vatican did. And it's people.
Is in the 1950s and 60s, isn't it?
It was in the 60s, and it culminated in this Vatican II, because what actually happened that John Courtney Murray's theory of, that this you should not have a state religion, and the religion has its own sphere and the state has its sphere and you've got to respect each other. That was accepted at Vatican II, and it opened up the whole ecumenical movement because it meant you didn't say you were the only possible religion, you acknowledged other religions. And that, of course, was what certain people in the Vatican were fighting against. They wanted to say, no, the only true religion was Catholicism. And if you could imagine if we were still saying that, it would be pretty terrible.
It would be a rather different world and increasingly unlikely to make an impact in a very secularized society is something we've been discussing quite a lot on this program. As someone who writes in the theological space, in the public square, what did you take from that story of this particular writer, Father, this John Courtney Murray?
I took a lesson. And, it's one that I know, that you don't always succeed. People say to me, don't you get tired of always losing? And, you know, whether it's on euthanasia or whatever it might happen to be. And my answer to that is, yes, I do, but I can't guarantee to you that I will win. None of us can. But I can guarantee that I will try to stand up for what I believe to be right. Even if, you know, it might turn out I'm wrong. I'm not saying I'm always right, but if I believe at the time that it's really important, for example, as I do with euthanasia, I think, you know, legalizing euthanasia is the worst, will be regarded as having been the worst mistake of the 21st century. It's an earth-shifting change.
Do you often wonder about, yes, indeed, and do you often wonder about whether those people who are wrong their entire life and, in fact, go to the grave being wrong and yet later they're proved right?
Oh, yeah. That's a very comforting thought. And also, it's got to do with leaving a legacy. I think that's one of the wonderful things about being a writer. We know, and back to that first book I mentioned, Harvey Chochenov's Dignity Therapy, this psychotherapeutic intervention he does, it helps people to write more or less a memoir that they can leave to their family about what was important to them in their lives. And that leaving of a legacy, thinking that something of you will exist after you're gone, is extremely important in the context of dying a peaceful death. And so, you know, all of this is intertwined, and sometimes we don't see it that way. And I think one of the problems of the current so-called progressive values people, some of the progressive values are good, they're acceptable, some aren't. But one of the ones that aren't is that they reduce immense complexity to a simplicity which is misleading. I mean, like, you know, you're dying. What does it matter if you die from a lethal injection? You're going to die anyway, so let's give you a lethal injection. That is a completely simplistic approach to death and what part that plays, not only in the dying person's life, but in the family, the community, the society, and the legacy we leave to the future. None of that is considered. It's like, you know, we've got a sharp, short technological intervention. We've got the mystery of death becomes the problem of death, and the technological solution to the problem's a lethal injection. I mean, it's awful. Anyway, that's enough of that. I want to just tell you about the two books I've just started.
Okay.
One of them is called In Search of a Better World. And it's the Massey Lectures from Canada. And it's written by a former colleague and a friend of mine called Payam Akavan. The lectures themselves were broadcast a few weeks ago, and lots of my friends got on to me and said, oh, this guy's got similar things to you. And I said, well, I'm not surprised. He's a friend of mine anyway. But anyway, he's a wonderful man.
What's the better world that he talks about?
Well, one where we've got he was actually a Baha'i in Iran when the Iranians were being prosecuted, and he was a refugee, came to Canada, and he then became a human rights lawyer, and he was a prosecutor in the war crimes tribunals in the Hague, in the UN. And he teaches international law and human rights at McGill University, where I've just come back from McGill to Australia, and that's where I taught. Anyway, it's an incredible book. But, you know, Payam also recognizes that, you know, we're not just a functioning gene machine. There's a lot more to us. And it's a very important book in terms of human rights and all that involves. And the other one is called The Travelling Cat Chronicles, and it's a translation from the Japanese. The book is by Hiro Arakawa, and it was given to me by a very dear friend of mine, also a colleague at McGill who's professor of medicine, and we're both cat fanatics.
Yes.
And so this is a cat book.
There's always got to be a good cat book on the go somewhere, that's what I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree, totally.
Margot, thank you for opening up your world of reading to us.
Not at all. It's a pleasure, Stephen.
Margot Somerville, one of our favourite open house contributors, a bioethicist at the University of Notre Dame, Australia. Dignity Therapy, When Breath Becomes Air, Struggle, Condemnation, Vindication, and The Travelling Cat Chronicles, which is by Japanese author Hiro Arikawa.
Discover more open house podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.